The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. 150-izzle. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number nine. So much more than a producer.
Hey.
How you doing?
Great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's big week.
Sounds sincere.
Big week. Let's go.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Xavier82. Before this loss to the Rockies, I put the win total at 23 for the Padres out of a total 26 games to be played. Wow, he's more bullish than I was. If another team gets to 24 wins, it's over. But now with the L, definitely need to make up the loss to get to 23 now. I have the same calculus, but I had him at 20-6. Now I have them at 19-7. I think Xavier is really got a exploding record there. This is from, let's see, there were some others on this as well. This is from the, Jensen Lewis before the show, By the Books. Jensen Lewis, co-host of By the Books with Dave Ross before this show. He added the Padres 18-1 and the Cubs 19-1 on the show this morning. Mid-May wins bets from Jensen.
Oh, he did
well.
That this morning?
Yes, did that this
you
morning.
You can get the Padres that long still? Wow.
Yeah, and the Cubs, by the way, who I would say are the two co-favorites right now. Super Jerk. Hey, it's our buddy Super Jerk.
Yeah.
Formerly angriest guy in New Jersey, then angriest guy in Kentucky. Now he just goes by Super Jerk. Super Jerk says, Gil, I wouldn't watch the Today Show if you tied me to a chair and cut my eyelids off. He goes on to say, if I was a guest on the Today Show, I would not watch the Today Show. You follow me? I think I do follow you. Sparty, KY. I heard someone say on your show the U.S. had the second most Cardinals there to vote. What country had the most? It was Italy, right?
Oh, man.
Or am I incorrect about that?
Let's see what Google has to say.
Maybe I'm incorrect about that. Kelly is currently Googling.
Nah, we got Wes Reynolds on hold. I bet you he knows.
He knows. Ladies and gentlemen, better than Google. Wes Reynolds, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. You can follow him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. That's the number one. Wes, of course, co-host of Long Shots as well. Who had most Cardinal representation in the conclave?
We're such a jerk.
Well, at first I was stricken by the angry guy from Long Island. Apparently, he's a Good Morning America guy, and not a Today
right.
And not a Today
That's
Show
right.
guy. In terms of this, I don't know, so I'm going to guess right offhand. Second most Cardinals. I'm going to say Germany.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Germany. Really? Wow. Okay, maybe not.
After Italy. I don't have a number on Italy, yeah, but the U.S. had 10, second highest behind Italy.
Yeah, had to be Italy. Had to be Italy. It's a home game for Italy is what it is with. Italy followed by the U.S. Did you see Conclave, by the way? Did you see that movie?
I have not.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty good. Pretty good movie. I enjoyed it. I wish I had, again, as I was lamenting last week, I wish that I had watched it earlier so then my brain would have clicked in at some point and said, oh, I should probably take what I've learned from this movie and try to apply it to an actual bet. Maybe I would have been part of that amazing betting, you know, wins that folks had betting on a U.S. Pope or specifically on the gentleman that did become the Pope. And by the way, they found footage of him now. You see this? The 2005 World Series between the White Sox. That was the year the White Sox won it. He's in the stands rooting for his White Sox.
Chicago Bob. What a story.
What are the chances of that? That they had the camera on him?
I don't know.
It's amazing.
I was watching CNN that day. And they just like were randomly pulling like people off the street for interviews, you know, they're in front of I'm forgetting the name of the church, but really famous Catholic church in Philadelphia. And they just randomly found an old like roommate of his from Villanova. It's like, oh yeah, I know him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Okay. This is the Pope we're talking about.
Kind of cool. All right, Wes, before we get to golf, let's talk about your Indiana Pacers. I saw you tweeting about it, with the yes, sirs, hashtag. You must be over the moon here. Are you allowing yourself to think this is going to happen? They are going to advance here.
I am allowing myself to think this is going to happen, but I know it's not going to be easy. Now it's going to depend on if Donovan Mitchell is going to play on Tuesday night for game number five. If he's not, then I feel very good about the Pacers. But look, two things can I think be true in this series. One, the Cleveland Cavaliers are not 100% in terms of health. And two, the Indiana Pacers are a horrible matchup for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I think that bore fruit last night. on Friday night, what really turned the game was when Kenny Atkinson and Cleveland went to that 3-2 zone. And the Pacers couldn't hit any shots. I think they were like 0 of 11 from 3 in the second quarter and only scored like 13 points or 13 or 15. I can't remember right offhand. But nevertheless, they got outscored by 20 in the second quarter and the game was pretty much a wrap. But what happens is these coaches, despite what many people might think, because I know a lot of people, the NBA gets a lot of grief and rightfully so with the load management and all that stuff. But I think a lot of fans and a lot of outside viewers out there kind of think these guys in the NBA, like these coaches don't really coach. Like they just kind of roll the basketballs out and just kind of like, you know, sit on the sidelines and just chat everybody up. No, they make adjustments. And Rick Carlisle did last night. And when you score 80 points and a half and they're up 80-39, that, you know, it was great shooting, but it was also getting great looks. And it was also making adjustments against what the Cavs were trying to do defensively. And I just thought Cleveland got dispirited very early, even after the Mathurin ejection. It was kind of like, okay, is this a momentum killer for the Pacers? Because I was like, man, that's really stupid. Like, what are you doing? You know, they need you.
Yeah.
And apparently they didn't need him because they absolutely ran him out. And I just think you got a connected group right now with the Pacers. And these guys have now played together a couple years, this core. And this was the fourth best record in the NBA since January 1st. I know I've belabored that point, but it is. And that tells me that they can compete with anybody. And, you know, still got to get one done. Don't want to, you know, count it yet. And Rick Carlisle even said that in the postgame presser last night. He was like, you know, we haven't done anything yet.
I do feel like Rick Carlisle, not to get into sports talk radio conversation, but I do feel like he's maybe as underrated a career coach as there is. Took the Mavericks to the title, obviously. I feel like if the Pacers get to the finals, let's say, all of a sudden his place in history becomes etched in a way that it hasn't been. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. You know, won the title with Dallas, has always been a really good coach. Of course, him and Larry Bird were old buddies back from the Boston Celtics teams. And Larry Bird was former coach of the Pacers. Actually, the last time they got to the finals, he was the coach in 2000 and was the team president for many years. So it wasn't like, okay, he's doing his buddy a favor. Rick Carlisle can really coach and has a very good staff. And he has got a bunch of guys that have bought in right now. And just Cleveland, I think they got to be scratching their head. You know, what are we doing? Because they're kind of, you could sense they were getting frustrated where they're getting a little bit out of character for this team that won 64 games. And it, you win 64 games, that's legitimate. But the playoffs are always a different bird. And it doesn't always, you know, go towards like what the regular season produced. And you look at some of these series where it's like, okay, Oklahoma City should lay over Denver and they lay over them in every way. But most of these games, save for that blowout in game two, have been absolutely competitive and down to the wire.
Yeah, he also got fired the year before the Pistons won it all in 2004. So what could have been there as well?
He's an interesting guy in NBA's history and how you hear NBA people talk about him, because he's, I think there's a lot of respect around the league for him.
A lot, but
rubs people the wrong way, though, often. Like, that kind of got him out of town in Dallas, and like, he coaches hard, Wes, right? I mean, he's a guy that he's going to be in your face, and if you're going to be young players, you got to be willing to be coached up by him, and it seems to all be clicking in Indiana.
Look, he's not a screamer or anything, but he has that, like, you know, sarcasm almost where he can, like, you know, he's very short. He's very curt sometimes with guys. And sometimes that personality can grate on people, but hasn't done it so far for the Pacers.
All while looking just like Jim Carrey. I just think we give, like, you know, Phil Jackson here. Yeah. Michael Jordan for 6 seasons. Then you have Shaq and Kobe. It's like, oh, he's the greatest coach of all time. And I just don't know why we don't make that extra layer of assessment in the NBA. By the way, as we've sat here, Wes, in the first hour of this show, the Pacers have gone, at least in the book that I'm looking at, they've gone from a 7.5-point dog tomorrow night in game 5 back in Cleveland to an 8-point dog. You taking the points?
I'm tempted to. We don't know. I'm assuming that Donovan Mitchell, and you never want to assume with all these injuries, but I'm assuming he's going to go in an elimination game here where, you know, there's no tomorrow for this team. You would think that he would play, but Garland, they played him in those blowout minutes. They played him those extra minutes in the third last night because this was kind of essentially his first full game back. Because remember, he got in foul trouble on Friday night and didn't play very much. So it's like, okay, we got to get him some minutes and kind of get him back into quote unquote game shape. Mobley missed game two with that sprained ankle. So, you know, they're not 100% healthy. I think that's a big ask to lay eight here.
Any other plays in the NBA either tonight or tomorrow?
I'm going to go with the bounce back game, perhaps for Jalen Brunson with the Knicks. I like the over three point makes tonight. And then I'm going to keep going against Tatum until he clears it. Everybody was betting Jason Tatum on Saturday. You know, you get those tweets like, what are the most popular props? And inevitably, they're always the superstars, right? So they played Jason Tatum over. That game became a blowout. He only ends up with 22. He's back at 27.5 again. I know he shot the three better in the Garden on Saturday, but until he can do that in this series, I'm going to play under Jason Tatum points.
Yeah, the thing with the Celtics-Knicks, too, is I feel like there is some sentiment like, oh, see, that was the Celtics. That game three thing with the Celtics and making the threes, that's their real thing. I don't know. Maybe the truth lies somewhere in between their horrible three-point shooting performances, let me be clear, in games one and two and what happened yesterday.
Yeah, somewhere in between 25 and 50%. Yeah, I agree, yes. Yeah. I think that's fair to say, yes.
Yes.
Tatum, man, Wes, I can't hate on the bet. I almost texted you, but I knew you're busy this weekend. I'm like, as soon as I saw him miss his second layup, I'm like, what's going on? What is going on? Just stick to the threes, I guess, Tatum. You can't make a layup, dude.
I got the Knicks tonight. I think I'm doing the Knicks in the contest. Carl Sack saying the best play on the board is the under in this one. At 2:08, first of two tonight in the National Basketball Association. Wes will join us for a second segment. We'll talk golf, not only the tournament that was with Sepp Straka winning the Truest by two strokes, but also, of course, the PGA Championship this week from Quail Hollow. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to know where the money is really going? Unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month. That's $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. You know, Kelly, just between you and me, this kid from Israel, Ben Saraf, supposed to be a first-round draft pick. And then from Michigan, of course, the great Danny Wolf, supposed to be a top 15 pick. The record for highest drafted tribesman in the history of the NBA. Do you know who it is? And what number?
Is it not Denny?
It's Denny. Denny Avdija. Oh, okay. Ninth.
I thought you set me up for a trick
by the Wizards.
Question.
No trick. Denny Avdija, the mark to beat. For those
skills
of us,
guy right there.
For those of us who are interested in those kinds of things.
The skills guy right there.
That's my guy. Do you remember I came back from vacation one year and I'm like, you know what the most important thing that happened during vacation? This was last year.
I was
last
so
year.
Confused. I'm like, what?
It's like Denny Avdija dropped 43. and the record is 50 for this category. Do you think it? No, never mind. I won't go there.
I know you're still looking for that golf market to be set up as well. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he can't. He can't put the market up. I understand, but if it were my sports book, I would put the market up. Anyway, Wes, you know what I'm talking about. Wes Reynolds, everybody, rejoins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Again, at Wes Reynolds 1. That's the number one on Twitter. Co-host of Long Shots. It's called Long Shots. Did you have Sepp Straka, sir, at the Truest?
Not for the win. I had him in a placement market. He was one of my last leave-offs. I only played four outrights last week with about a 70-player field, but had him earlier this year at the American Express. Didn't go back for seconds, unfortunately, but you knew it was kind of a three-guy tournament there at the end. It was him and Shane Lowry. Shane Lowry still trying to win on the PGA Tour. It's been several years since he's won here in the States. He, of course, won at Portrush, won the Claret Jug for the Open Championship a few years ago. And by the way, that's where the Open is this year, again, at Royal Portrush. And then Justin Thomas was kind of lurking. I had Patrick Cantlay, who had a pretty darn good round on Sunday, but Patrick Cantlay does what Patrick Cantlay does when I bet him. He's out of it. And then all of a sudden you see him like birdie three of the first four holes. And it's like, here we go. he's got a run and, you know, gets in the back door in the top five, but didn't unfortunately get there. But I thought that course, by the way, even though it played like four different courses, it seemed like over 4 days with just the setups, Philadelphia Cricket Club, I thought was a nice addition to the PGA Tour because it was hosting this event, because what usually hosts that event is Quail Hollow, which is where we are for the PGA this week.
Okay, by the way, Straka won that by 2 strokes over both Justin Thomas, who you had, Kelly, and Shane Lowry. 4-stroke lead over Cantlay Fleetwood and Jacob Bridgman.
Bridgman play. Yeah, he had another great tournament for him. Yeah, that was tough. I had JT down the stretch. He just, blew it on the par fives all week. Is really where he left some shots. Hey, it's kind of funny you say that, Wes, because that was my biggest takeaway, too. I'm like, I don't know if this course was great or not, because it looked like four different courses every day with how the weather was going. But, yeah, a big event for Straka, and then you hit it with Lowry. Man, I don't know that I've seen. I don't know how much interest I would have had in him this week, but man, did Shane Lowry look like he took that loss harder than I've seen him kind of take anything before. It was really, really bad. Really, him on 18 looked like he was just kind of broken. I don't know how you feel about him heading into this week.
Yeah, like when you see your buddy, you know, and of course he's happy for him because remember he was the first guy greenside to greet Rory McIlroy at the Masters, and you know that's one of his best friends in the game, and he's happy for him that he accomplished that. But it's like, you know, what about me? You know, I want to accomplish something too. I'm out here playing and grinding and competing. So I think he thought he had it, you know, and just wasn't able to finish it off. Great putting week, by the way, for Sepp Straka, and that's what led him to another victory.
Okay, it is the PGA Championship. It is the second major of the golf calendar. PGA Championship used to be at the end of the calendar, but a few years back they switched it up. So PGA Championship now coming to us in May. It's at Quail Hollow this year. And Wes is Quail Hollow, by the way, in Charlotte, North Carolina. Unlike most weeks here on the show where you sort of say, well, it's all going to be on long shots. I understand that the most of your picks are going to be on the podcast. But if we could open it up just a little bit in celebration of the fact that it's a major, give us some thoughts, some preliminary thoughts on this event and where your bets might be headed.
Yeah, it's going to be a big boy golf course, 7,600 yards, as a matter of fact, here at Quail Hollow, where, by the way, Justin Thomas back in 2017 did win here at Quail Hollow, his first of two PGA championships that he has won. So he's going to get a lot of support this week. And what you mentioned, Gil, about the calendar, this is a little bit different, and I'll include that in my trends portion of the column, which will be out tomorrow morning, early afternoon at VSiN.com. This, of course, back in, I think it was 2019, where they moved this because it used to be called Glory's Last Shot, the last major of the year for PGA. And it used to be in August, and now it is moved up to May. And ever since it's been moved up to May, four of the last five winners of the PGA Championship, by the way, did finish in the top 10 at the Masters the month prior. So now you have some, albeit a short-term sample size, you have a little bit of context here where you're seeing, okay, guys that play well at the Masters are probably going to play well at the PGA, and that's what we've seen over the last few years. So who are the guys that played well at the Masters? Rory, Scottie Scheffler, of course, they're the two favorites. And then there's another guy who I did play. I played at 14-1. I still think you can get some 12 out there. Bryson DeChambeau, who, you know, tied for fifth. He was in that final pairing with Rory. Didn't get it going. Well, he did take the lead because Rory, messed up out of the gate on Sunday and then eventually got well behind where he was kind of out of it. So I think Bryson might be looking for redemption. If you want a guy on a big boy golf course at 7,600 yards, why not get the longest hitter on the tour? And that's Bryson, or in the world. I say on the tour, he's not on the PGA Tour anymore. But anywho, he's hit the longest driver of the golf ball. So, you know, Bryson DeChambeau, I think, makes a lot of sense here. He has been obviously in the mix in majors, won at Pinehurst last summer, right in the state of North Carolina at the U.S. Open, was a contender, of course, at the Masters, was a contender at the PGA last year, finished runner-up to Xander Schauffele at Valhalla in Louisville. So Bryson's going to be, I think, a fixture in the majors, even though this live preparation has been very questionable because they had to go to Mexico City and then they had to go all the way to South Korea. But before the major, where Bryson, by the way, won. So I think he's a guy that you're going to want on your card this week for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting because you were just saying how, you know, this tournament was all about, you know, once they moved its big names. So if you go back to 2017, so this is even before they moved it. So 2017, these are the list of the winners of the PGA Championship. 2017 was Justin Thomas. 2018 was Brooks Koepka. Then they moved it in terms of the calendar. They moved it to May. 2019, Koepka again. 2020, the pandemic year, was Colin Morikawa at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Then it was Mickelson in 2021, JT in 2022, Koepka again in 2023, and Xander last year. So it's really been a who's who. And remember, before that stretch, it was like the Jimmy Walkers and the Jason Duffners and the YES, famously against Tiger Woods. It was all those kinds of guys, right? Like, and so this is it is a different animal for sure.
Yeah, it is. And you mentioned those names, Rich Beam, Sean McKeel. So, yeah, you would get some outliers, I think, win this event. And, you know, the PGA, you get a different course every year. But and some years you get scoring. It was 21 under, by the way, was the winner last year with Xander. And then you've had 5 and 6 and 7 under. So it's a unique deal. You got to handicap the weather, obviously. But this is a long course. This is 7,600 yards, and it's a par 71 as well. It's very straightforward, and that's why I think you're going to want to look at distance. You're going to want to look at the iron play, strokes gained approach. You're doing that pretty much every week. Par 5 scoring, got to take advantage of the par 5s here. So this is a familiar course for these guys. I mean, granted, they'll try to grow out the rough a little bit, but it doesn't play like a U.S. Open where it's like, okay, if you're right around par, that's going to be a good score. You will be able to score on this course for sure.
Shameless plug, Gil, Wes, Matt, and I will be recording long shots. We'll be live on YouTube tomorrow, 11 a.m. Pacific time around there. We'll be hit live on YouTube. We'll be recording that. We'll be re-aired overnights on VSiN leading up to the tournament. I like your play on DeChambeau, Wes. I have only one bet so far. I did bet Justin Thomas over the weekend at 22-1. I was hoping I was going to get better number than what was going to get reposted at, but it looks like there are 22s out there. I like JT. Bryson, I was hoping to get something a little longer than that, but you're right, man. All the books were caught up over the week. I think this is setting up. If you're a golf fan, I think we're going to get another great major. If you're a big golf betting fan, I don't know that my card's going to be very long because I think we are going to see one of these top guys win it. How do you feel about that? Just kind of early thoughts as you're getting your card together.
I think we might have another Rory and Bryson showdown in a major. That's how it's shaping up. When I look at the trends and some of the stats, at least early on, and they're right up there at the top. And you know what? If it is, great. That's great for the viewer, not necessarily for the better, as you mentioned, but take advantage of the placement markets. Go with the top 20s, go with the top 30s this week, because there will be some guys under the radar that play very well, but maybe just don't quite have enough to beat the big boys at the end.
Scheffler 4-1, Rory plus 450 to win it. Bryson DeChambeau 12-1, John Rahm 16-1, and only Xander, JT, Ober, and Morikawa shorter than 31 besides those golfers. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate it, man.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
Wes Reynolds right here on the show. College baseball with Matt Grissom. His thoughts headed into the conference tournaments next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Want to know where the money is really going? Unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight. Oh, did I read that one already?
Yeah, you did already.
Okay. It's okay. It sounded familiar.
Go to VSiN.com. Check out the betting splits.
Yeah, this is way cooler than betting splits. It's the all-in Circa Las Vegas summer package. Listen to this. $400 all-in. Two-night stay at Circa. $100 dining credit. $100 beverage credit. And your very own day bed at Stadium Swim where the party don't stop. And it don't stop. On and on and on. All for just $400. Resort fees and taxes included. This limited time offer valid for stays between May 26th and September 4th. Don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now at CircaLasVegas.com. It's not a package, Kelly. It's a package. That's how good it is.
I mean, it's really like just $200, right? Because you're getting $100 right away at dining and beverage. You're going to eat and you're going to drink. Breaking news.
It's less than $200 because then you get the day bed.
Yeah.
It's less.
I guess you could say that's a luxury.
They're practically giving you money. We did the math just now. All-in summer hotel package again. Check it out. CircaLasVegas.com. It is good. Again, I'm even considering getting it for a staycation.
I've had multiple friends utilize it already. It is a great, great, great deal.
Do you think the word utilize is the most overutilized word? Because all you can do, every time anybody uses the word utilize, you can just as easily use the word use.
I guarantee you I'm one of those people that uses it too much then.
That always gets me.
Utilizes it too much.
Rhodes, the playoffs are a different bird. Also known as flipping the bird to people who bet favorites. He says, Las Vegas 514, yo. Come on, man. Let's go to Spain. We can go to the Spanish bullfighting or see you doing some flamenco dancing. We'll have a blast. He's talking about for the Commanders-Dolphins game. Skins fans wanted to go to Madrid. By the way, I have been to Madrid. I have been to Spain, and I did witness bullfighting. Let me just say this. It is steeped in Spanish culture. It is one of their cultural hallmarks. For those who are uninitiated, it is tough the first time you watch it.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
It is tough. And then by the third bull, you're like, oh.
Just kind of get used to it, yeah.
Yeah. But that was the 80s. Now I don't know if you'd be used to it by the third.
I'm going to give you one guess what Steve Fezzik just texted me about. He'd like to add on to what's so great about the Circa All-In Summer Package. Sure, would you like to guess?
Yeah, no. What is it?
Fireworks on Friday night.
Fireworks on Friday night. Fireworks. He loves fireworks. Paul M., I listened to your complaint regarding Jones Broadcasting, and I will add he is Canadian and SGA is. Enough said, if you catch him throughout year, he plays the Canucks. I am Canuckian too, by the way. I know. Yeah. Well, you might be right about the SGA thing.
I feel like he gets put on every Heat game ever.
I also, the problem with Mark Jones also is and then SGA lacerates the lane. Okay, there's probably a better way.
Mark Jones is fine. He's good. He's not great. He's not terrible.
Oh, he is less than good. He
gets over the top.
Come on, really? No, I'm not a fan. Scuba Scott, with the current price of today's resort fees in Las Vegas, that $400 deal at Circa is really like $50, he says.
Mm-hmm.
He did the math. He came over $50. You're right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some college baseball. Because not this coming weekend, but the following weekend is the conference tournaments. If you recall, that's when I put in the old miss bet that cashed at 100-1 for the College World Series back in 2023. Was that 2023 or 2022? I can't even remember. Arkansas is your short shot to win it all. And if you recall, this gentleman gave out Arkansas as one of his three plays when he came on before the college baseball season began. It was Virginia, it was Clemson, it was Arkansas. Arkansas plus 470, the short shot to win it all. It's Matt Grissom, everybody, joining us now. You can follow him on Twitter, of course, at Grissom on X, collegebaseballinsiders.com. What's happening, baby?
Well, thank you for having me back on. If you only went off Virginia, you would have said, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Cavs having a pretty rough year, but they're turning it on here late. So is Florida, which we saw Florida barely make the tournament last year and they got to Omaha, almost made it further than that. But these Ole Miss type teams from 2022, you just have to watch out. Every SEC team, I feel like, is dangerous.
Yeah,
this time of year.
Well, that's how it was that year too, right? That's how it was that year. You said the SEC tournament has a different format now?
They do. Since adding Texas and Oklahoma, they've dropped the whole single elimination, double elimination, single, which was a weird format anyways. It made for a long week in Hoover. Now it's just straight single elimination. The top four seeds get a double bye. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see, I think the top four seeds right now are Texas, LSU, Arkansas, and Georgia. Maybe Auburn instead of Georgia. I need to look. But I wouldn't be surprised if they just one and done. And go back home because one, it's going to save your pitching staff. Two, you've already got your seating locked up. Selection Monday is on Memorial Day at noon after the tournament's in. So you're not going to fall from the graces of the committee's top eight national seeds or top 16. It's kind of what's done is done. It's a 60 game season. So your body of work is more reflective of all those 60 games and not just a little tournament in Hoover.
Yeah, so let's start there because we talked a little bit about this off air with best bets. LSU, which is second short shot to Arkansas in terms of winning the College World Series, you can get LSU at plus 550. But to make the College World Series, you can still get them at plus money. How is that possible?
It is minus 115 right now.
Oh, minus 150. So but still, that, though, right? Yeah, like, how does that look?
And that's only, you're talking about not wanting to tie up money on big futures. We're talking 2 weeks or 3 weeks and you cash this. So I think LSU could likely be the number one overall seed. We'll see when D1 baseball puts out their field of 64 projections. Last weekend, they had LSU, I believe, as the third seed. They had, it was Florida State, Arkansas, I think LSU. and we were big sellers of Texas, the advanced analytics, one of those idiots that believe in those. They said the Texas Longhorns shouldn't be number one. And lo and behold, now they've dropped two straight series, one to Arkansas getting swept, and then to Florida this past weekend. So, yeah, if you're looking at this odds board, it just doesn't make sense. Arkansas minus 200, they just lost at Alex Box Stadium against LSU in a series. Tennessee minus 170 to make it. They just dropped to number 17 after losing their fifth straight SEC series. LSU minus 115, the clear-cut number one in the country right now by, I think, every poll, and likely your number one overall seed. Make it make sense.
Yeah, make it make sense. Let me just ask it the other way. What would they have to do to not make it? Like, is it even possible? They lost every game from now to the end. Wouldn't they still make the College World Series at this point?
They will have to get through the regionals and super regionals before they get to the College World Series. So what this bet is saying that they're going to be one of the final eight in Omaha.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
Just a quick refresher, regional, super regional. So there's 16 regional hosts. Then there's top eight national seeds. Those will host the super regionals the following weekend. The basic format is you get four teams seeded 1, 2, 3, 4. One plays four, two plays three. Then you play until double elimination. Chances are home teams rule in most cases. So as long as you're a regional host and a top eight national seed, you're getting all home games until Omaha. So like I said, LSU probably going to be the number one overall. Is it going to be a cakewalk? No, but the odds are in their favor, especially when you're considering Arkansas minus 200, Tennessee minus 170. It's a cheap price at 115 for the number one overall seed, who's likely going to get the easier path to make it to Omaha.
All right, beyond that.
And then Florida State plus 210, sorry, to give Kelly Bidlin some credit here, as I talked about last time out, Florida State's going to be probably the number two overall seed. And here they are at plus 210.
Hey, Matt, I crossed off that bets to make to-do list I sent you last night. Florida State to win the College World Series had been on there for about 3 weeks ago.
Mm.
I'm in, 25-1. Let's go.
There you go.
Noles.
Give me the Ole Miss equivalent in the SEC. What's the SEC team that no one's thinking about that could absolutely win it all?
The problem is they've kind of wised up right now, and I think there's still a lot of value on Auburn 40-1. It doesn't really make sense why they're going to be a top eight national seed, assuming they can handle business and win the rest of their games. They are coming off a big series sweep against South Carolina, which not really huge, but then they go at Ole Miss, who's coming off a loss to Mississippi State, who just fired their coach. So I think Auburn could come into the SEC tournament on like a 9-1 win streak. And they're playing really good baseball right now. They're getting good outings by Cade Fisher and Sam Dutton. They're 1-2 punch on the mound. And Ike Irish, you've got some big-time hitters for the Tigers here. And then if you just really want a longer shot flyer, I would say you've got Mississippi State at 65-1, who, like I said, fired their head coach, but their advanced analytics have been there all season long. They were a top five pitching staff looking at XFIP in Sierra. Who knows? Does the interim head coach come in and rally the troops? It looks like it, because over the last 2 weeks, they've won more games than they had all season long in the SEC. So Mississippi State and Auburn, I think, are the way to go there.
I'm getting that old hottie totty feeling again from a few years back. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate
it. Definitely more faith in Auburn. Absolutely.
Say the last part again.
Definitely more faith in Auburn.
More faith
than
in
a
Auburn.
A team that doesn't have a head coach.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. We'll come back. We'll recap all the bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey there, Kelly Bidlin. What do you say we recap our best bets of the day?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let's do it, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Let us begin with me, your mild-mannered host. Had a couple tennis plays today at the top of the show. Jaume Munar versus Sebastian Corda at plus money, and Mr. Munar is up a set. He won the first set 6-4. So far, so good on that one. What could go wrong, Kelly, a Munar.
Oh, I'm sure you'll be fine.
I'm sure I'll be fine. What could go wrong? And then a little later on today, this one has not started. Marta Kostyuk, plus 243 versus the world number one, Aryna Sabalenka. Taking a flyer on Kostyuk at plus 243. She played Aryna very close last time, and I don't think she fears Sabalenka. Let's put it that way. And then, of course, the Nuggets and Pacers adjusted series prices, which I both bet after their respective game ones. That Pacers one looking darn good, up 3-1. Nuggets, not so much at 2-2, but we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Kelly, what do you have, sir?
I am on the Wolves tonight. Not a big play for me, but I'm laying 5. That was it's an interesting game the other night, and I'm just wondering if Warriors are going to have enough without Steph. We thought there'd be a chance that they could hang around. It's not ruling them out yet, but man, you got a lot out of Kuminga and Jimmy Butler the other night. Still couldn't get it done. So I'll lay 5 with the Timberwolves here tonight. I just think there might be a little too much right now with Steph out of the lineup. Justin Thomas, 22-1 to win the PGA, only PGA championship bet I have made so far. Basically, the rest of my day will be digging into golf and getting ready for long shots tomorrow. And then I'm very glad we had Matt on the show today, because it did remind me to complete the one bet that I had left on my bets to-do list, Gil, and it is Florida State 25-1 to win the College World Series.
By the way, I got shortchanged on my picks. I am going to be on the Knicks tonight. I haven't made it yet, but I'm going to make it here right after the show. I'm going to be the Knicks plus the points tonight in Game 4 in Madison Square Garden. And in baseball, I will be on the Padres run line first 5 and run line for the full game against the Angels tonight. The full game is about plus 102 on the -1.5 for the homestanding Padres. As far as Matt Grissom was concerned, you just heard him. Auburn, 40-1 to win the College World Series. He also thought that there might be some value on Mississippi State. He's also got Auburn, 4-1 to make the College World Series. Again, that is to make Omaha, get past the regionals and the super regionals. LSU, he didn't mention this specifically, but this is available at DraftKings. LSU plus 750 to win the College World Series is a bet, including that one that we talked about, which is LSU minus 115. To make the College World Series, but to win it all, plus 750. There's a straight plus 750 at DraftKings. Go get it, people, because we can't. Thank you to Matt Grissom for
that. Did they have the make market last year? It's a great market. Yes. I don't know why everybody wouldn't have that.
Yeah, we had the make market.
Okay, yeah. I don't see it in any other book. So.
Carl Sack, he liked the under in the Celtics-Knicks tonight, under 208.5.
Yeah, I lean that way, too, for sure.
Okay. Anybody else, or is that it? Was that it?
Do no, we got Wes.
Yeah, I was going to say Wes Reynolds. Jalen Brunson today. Wes has a couple props in the Knicks-Celtics game. He's got Jalen Brunson over 2.5 made three-pointers and Jason Tatum under 27.5 points for my Knicks plus the points bet. I hope both of those things actually happen. So that's from Wes Reynolds. All of our best bets courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSIN. Every show, every host, every sport, every guest, every sport. All recapped at the end of each and every show on the network. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances. That's even when you put your own money on the card. GBank treats gaming transactions as purchases, so you're saving up to 3 to 5% on cash advance fees on gaming transactions. Write that. Also, with GBank, you're earning 1% cashback rewards on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all eligible purchases. Apply now at vsin.com/GBank. That's vsin.com/GBank. By the way, our VSIN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge, Kelly Bidlin.
Update me, because I never even check the standings anymore as they just keep dropping L's.
Stevie Fezzik threatening to run away and hide.
Are you serious?
19-9.
You said Kazarian's come back to the pack?
Zach Cohen and Doug Kazarian tied for second at 16-11.
Wow. What am I, 500 now?
Kelly Bidlon, 13-12-1.
Brutal second round.
And young Gil Alexander, and I think I deserve a prize for this, 13-13-1. I have managed to go 500 in 27 games.
Where do you rank? Do we have more? Is there more people below 500 than above 500?
I wish you hadn't asked that on air.
God, okay. It's been a rough second round, man.
Let's put it this way. Me flipping coins, if this continues, I could finish second. If the trend continues.
Zach and Fezzik seem to be the only ones consistently rising every time
we
check in on
That's correct. In terms of round two, Steve Fezzik 6-2, Zach Cohen 5-2. They've been the best.
That is damn impressive.
That is damn impressive.
I don't know anybody talking in NBA circles that they've had a great betting second round.
No. But Stevie asked me yesterday, he goes, make a line for me. What's my line to win this? And I think he's about a minus 250 favorite because he's still got what is that? Boop, 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 boop. He's still got 10 games to play. Yeah, 10 more to go. Doug and Zach each have 11 more games to play, I believe it is. I'm just doing it in my head. And then, yeah, so there's still time for Fezzik to blow it. Don't get me wrong.
I think I played myself out this weekend. It was the...
You know what? Here's the thing. You just got to keep birdieing holes, right? Like Stevie said, you just birdie your par, or you just birdie your bogey every hole, right? Although you and I managed to par one with a push the other day, which was comical, on the Warriors. I was on the Warriors side and you were on the other side. You were on the T-Wolves side.
Oh, I'm still a little angry about that one.
Yeah.
Draymond needed to get that cover. Draymond needed a cover.
So I would make Fezzik about a minus 250 favorite, and that's good news for all the people at Circa. He pledged his potential winnings to all the folks.
That's right.
Here at Circa. I pledged mine to the people behind the glass. I'm not getting it done for them.
Hey, there's still time. There's still time.
There's still time.
I think I'm done after this weekend with the Wolves not getting there and then the Thunder not getting there yesterday because Aaron Gordon had a bank in a three to make sure that cover got home.
You know who I have not mentioned in this that actually has fewer losses than Doug and Zach? Alex Christensen is actually the closest to Fezzik in the loss column. I should mention him. He's 14-10-1, so he's only one game behind Fezzik in the loss column, actually with the push, 1.5, you might say, but still. So he's in it. He's very much in it as
big.
Well.
That's big.
Yeah. There you go. To football for a second before we close. I don't know if you caught this this weekend while you were watching basketball and everything else, that Derek Carr retired from the NFL.
Man, kind of upset. I was not in a position to immediately make bets.
No.
I would have. Sure, there were a lot of people that did. Good on you. Looking at Saints unders and stuff like that. But man, this was kind of, now looking back on it, feels like he was kind of, this was being telegraphed all along. Like, hey, there's major questions in New Orleans, and we weren't really getting updates on Derek Carr and what was going on. I'm not very surprised to see this has happened.
Tyler Shuck is your favorite to take the Saints' first snap. Tyler Shuck, minus 260. The 26-year-old rookie out of Louisville, Tyler Shuck.
Yeah.
Is minus 260 to take the Saints' first snap in week number one. Spencer Rattler, plus 190. And Jake Haner, son of former Bay Area news anchor, Julie Haner, 17-1.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Julie Haner, she anchored the local news, I think, on the Fox affiliate there for many years.
Were Rattler and Haner really that bad in their brief appearances last year that we're going to make the Rook minus 260?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, they weren't good. Don't get me wrong.
They weren't good. They were not good.
They were not good, but I did think that was a little aggressive on Shuck.
I think I'd go Rattler. I actually think wrong guy's favorite.
I don't think I'd have an opinion.
Well, there's a name missing from this list, Gil Alexander, because I saw a report come down this morning, which I think was a very intelligent report.
Yeah, I know where you're going, I think.
Free Jameis Winston.
Oh, that's not the one I heard.
Free Jameis.
Free Jameis.
Free Jameis.
Because Jameis Winston got signed by the Giants, and then they signed Russell Wilson, and then they went ahead and they traded up for Jackson Dart.
Yeah, now he's stuck. Now, like, you can actually get something back from Jameis from a Saints team that I would think would be interested in a quarterback that has played under this system before.
Jameis, who played for the Saints.
So I need another name added, DraftKings.
There's no way the Falcons would trade him to inter-division team, right? Intra-division team.
Who, Kirk?
Yeah, no way they would do that.
Yeah, I don't think so. No way.
Aaron Rodgers would not be someone to go there, right?
I wouldn't think so. Although in, you know how I feel, Gil. Inside in New Orleans sounds a lot more comfortable to me than outside in Pittsburgh. But
let's just put it this way: you don't have to bet everything. That would be one of the props that I would have no interest in betting whatsoever.
Give me a no price on Tyler Shuck. I still don't even know how to say the guy's name.
Yeah, Tyler Shuck.
Give me a no price on that. I might be interested. Otherwise, I'm with you. Okay. Stay away.
A lot of people love him, though. There's a reason why they drafted him.
Yeah, there's a reason why he played college football for 17 years.
Something wrong with a 26-year-old rookie. Anyway, those are proliferating, those first snap props on all the teams where that thing is in question. The Saints now become one more team where that is in question. And what does that do to the Saints' season win total, right? I mean, crash away.
Yes, crashes.
Schedule comes out in 2 days, again, leaking trickle by trickle, as they say. I don't know if anybody says that. I just said it. But of course, Cowboys Eagles is the opener. Eagles favored by 7. Fezzik's already in at 6.5 on the straight 6.5. Money Moves is next. Enjoy with Stormy and JVT right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.